Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. You know I'm a big fan of enjoying life while still being smart financially. That's why I love ButcherBox. I can get a variety of high-quality meat, seafood, chicken, and pork at an amazing value, all with exclusive member deals delivered to my door with free shipping always. One thing I just never wanted to cut out of my spending plan is eating good food. And with ButcherBox, I don't have to, and neither do you. Where else can you get free protein for a whole year? Yes, you heard that right. One of my favorite go-to dinners is a salmon bowl. I'm not even a huge salmon lover, but ButcherBox's wild-caught salmon is oh so good. I make a nice little marinade, saute some veggies, cook the salmon, and throw in some Weiss. And it is an amazing dinner. If you want to take less trips to the grocery store and always have prepared meat in the freezer for a lot less money, you need ButcherBox in your life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/ETM and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/ETM. Hey, I'm Shauna Compton-Game. This is Millennial Money. And today we're talking, is this a Bitcoin and cryptocurrency bubble? And what the heck is a Bitcoin anyway?
Millennial Money with Shauna Compton-Game. It will expand your brain.
If you've been anywhere online lately, you have certainly seen the news about Bitcoin being at all-time highs. And even if you don't know what a Bitcoin is or what cryptocurrency is, I think you would definitely recognize the name. You know, something is going on. And there's been a lot of questions I've received for the podcast from people wanting to know more about Bitcoin. And is this something you should be invested in? Is this a currency that makes sense? Is this the future? So many questions. So I was so excited on this podcast to have the chance to talk to Daniel and Kendi, who are from Millennial Wall Street, a Facebook group that I belong to that was started by Daniel. And there are geniuses on this Facebook group. They talk all about different types of investing. And we took it to the group to find experts so that we could bring you the most relevant information about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency and the things that you need to know as a millennial. All right. Well, I am so excited to have Daniel and Kendi on the podcast talking about what is becoming a seemingly very popular topic, the cryptocurrencies and bitcoins. And Daniel, if you could start out, tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about Millennial Wall Street, which is kind of how we're all here together today.
Okay, well, thank you for having me on again, Shanna. It's been about a year since we did our first podcast. And so Millennial Wall Street it's really become a think tank that's focused on professional and retail investing strategies, accounting, corporate finance activity, economics, personal finance for everyday people, and various asset classes, including cryptocurrency. So the group started with about 50 of my relevant contacts in 2014, and it has recently just passed 2,000 members worldwide. Majority is in the United States. I've got tons of people in California, New York, Texas, just all over the US, plenty of people in the Middle East, lots in Europe as well. So it's growing and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that is incredible. Awesome. So Kendi, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello. My name's Kendi, obviously, and I am a member of Millennial Wall Street. Daniel and I were actually friends from college, although we've become closer friends after college once we both noticed that finance was something that we wanted to pursue more. I majored in finance and economics, and I've done investing for years upon years now in traditional stock market ETF type stuff. And then more recently, I've become more knowledgeable in cryptocurrency and crypto finance and blockchain technology. And it's really expanding the horizons in terms of what is going to be available in terms of global economics and global commerce. And that's something that's really exciting to me. So I've just been doing a lot more research and going down the rabbit hole, so to speak. A lot of us in this space call it the rabbit hole because there are so many different avenues to turn down, especially when you're dealing with open source technology, which is the base for a lot of this, which is new and exciting. But when it's open source, it's constantly changing and being updated, which again is new and exciting, but it's a lot to keep up with, I'll be honest, but it's a lot of fun too. So I'm just doing my best.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of the listeners have heard these terms, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, you know, all of these different terms that we throw out. And a lot of people are still kind of mystified over, well, what does that actually mean? So, Kendi, let's start with you. What do you think is really leading this global phenomenon for cryptocurrency? And what is cryptocurrency?
I think the best way to describe what's leading it is this desire to have a more decentralized and to some degree anonymous way to be able to make transactions. Because so many of our transactions nowadays, there's a central authority, whether it's a bank or a clearinghouse or the government itself, is kind of monitoring what you do and controls the money supply and what's going to become of it, therefore. And I think what this peer-to-peer technology does, what cryptocurrency does, is allows people to create their own network, a decentralized network that doesn't have the sovereignty and traditional borders of a given country. I mean, it's global. Like, I can transact without having to worry about exchange rates with someone that lives across the world. And I think that's really appealing to people. And I think the initial appeal of it too came from people that really wanted that anonymity. They didn't want people to know what they were buying and selling. And that's how we got the Silk Road. And that's how Bitcoin really got started terms of becoming relevant. And now we're just starting to see it become adopted more in a mainstream fashion. And there's a lot of money to be made from it. I think that's where so much of the current frenzy is happening. I mean, it's not so much about the principles anymore that it was built upon and the demand that it was trying to fulfill in that sense. But now it's about the money that can be made from it and just trying to come to terms with that. And in terms of what it is, I think the best way is to like distill it down to the fact that it's based on something called blockchain technology. And blockchain is a distributed ledger technology. It's, you know, a lot like an accounting ledger with debits and credits and transactions, but instead of being maintained by a human being or a company that's largely controlled by human beings, it's being controlled by a network, an online network that has set protocols that it has to meet, like certain math standards that it has to meet in order to verify transactions. And that's how you get miners. Like that's how they're relevant, is they're the ones mining the coins, therefore verifying transactions for the network. And they're compensated with whatever the given cryptocurrency is.
Wow. Yeah. That is definitely that is an awesome, awesome explanation.
It's hard to put it very simply. Unless you have a more specific question. Like I said, there's so much to begin to explain to even try to, I think to really distill it down again, it's a peer-to-peer network. So it doesn't have a central authority that's in charge of the supply and the transactions. Like it's decentralized, it's democratic, and it allows for commerce to be peer-to-peer instead of centralized. I think that's the best way to cliff note it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, you mentioned Bitcoin in there, and obviously this is something I'm getting a lot of questions about, you know, what is Bitcoin? Should this be something, you know, I add in my portfolio? And Daniel, could you give us just a little background on Bitcoin? You know, why is this, and maybe why is the surge in share price happening with Bitcoin? The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like $1 million wearing this cozy workout-friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/ETM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/ETM. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house or maybe a wedding or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund because, let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated, all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com /ETM. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. When it comes to financial advice, you gotta trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I was paying for vacations all wrong. I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card with more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? I don't know, maybe that fancy hotel upgrade that you have always been dreaming about. Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Talkin' Money under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC.
Okay, so I think that it has been going up like crazy for a few reasons. The first reason I have here is basically there's this thing called regulatory arbitrage. I didn't come up with that. I heard that from NYU professor Scott Galloway, and I'll give a little background on that. He was talking about how Amazon is able to go into essentially any industry and take out the competition and is becoming a monopoly. And they're able to do this freely until the government steps in and starts regulating it. So, you know, technology and technologists will innovate to no end. They innovate faster than laws get passed. And so the law has to catch up to the technology. And I think Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general are way ahead of the law. You see that this is why the SEC, that's the Securities and Exchange Commission, you have all these government bodies are saying like, well, okay, what do we do? How do we treat this asset class? It's so volatile, or it's like these ICOs, the initial coin offerings, like, are they illegal? Are they not? Are endorsements by people illegal? Are they not? But you have tons of people piling into this. I mean, like, obviously not as many, there's not as big of a market for cryptocurrencies as there is for regular markets, bonds, currencies at the moment, but you have tons of retail investors, and slowly big institutional investors are starting to put money into this, and that's going to start driving up the price. Now, today, or what is it, like last night, you had the CBOE and the CME announced that they're going to start creating derivatives and futures products for cryptocurrencies. I mean, that's going to make the market, I don't know how many times over, it's going to be so much bigger than it is. I mean, it's really going to become even more and more billions. So the price is going up because the investors are starting to get more confident. I mean, price is driven by consensus. So, you know, the more people who believe in this, the more people pile money into this, the higher the price is going to go. I mean, especially with Bitcoin, I'd say that Bitcoin is the most prominent and successful digital currency right now. I mean, you have Litecoin, Ether, or Ethereum, whatever it's called. I don't really, I mean, there's like, Candy, there's like what, over 1,000 or 2,000 now or something, but
yeah, there's tons of them. I mean, a lot of them aren't nearly as relevant, but that's what you run into when you have open source technology. Also, is just about anyone could go on to GitHub, figure out what a lot of the code is for it, build their own applications, build their own currencies, just in the raw or on top of platforms that are already built, like Ethereum. And then you just have all of these different options that aren't always built on substance. It's a lot like the dot-com bubble was, in the sense that you have all, it was so easy to create a website, relatively speaking, back then, and so much money in being able to create a website and have your own stake of a dot-com claim, so to speak, and make money off of it. And so there was a lot more people doing it that didn't necessarily have a long run mission, vision, values in mind for their business model. They just wanted to make a quick dollar. And a lot of this reminds me too, especially with the smaller ones that you get into, of the movie The Big Short, and we're talking about the real estate bubble and how Michael Burry's character, played by Christian Bale, goes, there's definitely a correlation between between fraud and complexity. And I feel like that's a lot of what's happening in this market too, is there's a lot of, because it's so easy to make all these little coins, and now there's going to be derivatives of the coins, which is even more complex. And the coins themselves and the way they're structured are complex in the first place. That there's no doubt that when you examine this entire market, it's, there's a lot of fraudulent activity, and there's a lot of investing that's happening that's going to blow up in people's faces. But I think once the bubble does burst and blow up in people's faces, there's going to be a few projects left, a few currencies left that are legitimate and have a long-term vision and are going to be, they're going to be the next Facebook. They're not going to be the next MySpace, you know?
Right. Exactly. I mean, and last thing I want to say on this, and I just want to make this kind of very clear, but it's like, you have startups. I mean, okay, let's kind of rewind on that for a second. The reason that companies raise capital, say a company wants to raise capital for its projects, for whatever it wants to do, and if they don't want to raise debt, they go into capital markets, they go into equity capital markets, and they go into an IPO, initial public offering. So they give up some of their stock, and in exchange for capital, and then they become publicly traded, and that's how you find companies on the stock market. Like, I mean, any company you think of that's public, Snapchat, Coke, Facebook, Boeing, whatever, Apple, they all raise capital this way. There are startups right now that, instead of saying, okay, we don't want to go public, we don't want to have scrutiny from the SEC, from the federal government, we don't want the regulations, but we know technology. And there is a massive craze going on right now with cryptocurrencies. So screw it. Let's tell our engineers to build us a quote-unquote XYZ coin, whatever it's called. And then let's get some marketing dude who's really good on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to blast it out to tons of people and hype it up. And then we will do the ICO, the initial coin offering. And you have tons of investors, typically retail investors. You know, sadly, these people are just very heavily uninformed and they're excited, so that never ends well. But people are piling their money into these ICOs, and they're getting these coins, right? And you're literally transferring your cash to this company, and this company is getting cash. They're getting liquidity. I mean, they might get so much money, they don't even use it for their actual company. They might just say, well, we just made millions of dollars. Like, okay, we're retiring. But then the investor essentially gets these thousands or millions of coins. They're basically a receipt. And you don't, unless a company tells you, or until like capital market and investment banking professionals somehow structure this so that coins become equity, this is just, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is 100% fraud.
It's worthless. So,
it's just, there's no intrinsic value. There is no intrinsic value in this, especially in the ICOs.
Yeah, some projects do have intrinsic value, and that's where I'm trying to come into the game a little bit, actually come up with some valuation metrics like across the board to help compare them, because I want to know in the end, once this bubble bursts, who is going to be who's going to be the AOL and who's going to be the Google? You know what I mean? Like, I think
those are the ones that we want to buy at the lowest points.
Yeah, exactly. There's no standardized valuation metrics for this market like there are in finance. So that's where I'm trying to come in and do a little bit of a hybrid and see what I can apply to traditional finance and longstanding, well-trusted valuation metrics, how I can apply those to this market. And so far it's going relatively well. But again, I think a lot of it comes down to the human capital that's driving it. Like, if you really know the psychology and intentions behind the humans that are behind any given project, then it's a lot easier to determine whether or not it's going to be worth your money in the end. But a lot of times with these ICOs and these like project startups, you don't really get to know who the team is that well or that readily and what their intentions are. And if they're really trying to make a product that's going to change the world and change global commerce and their principles are driving them versus the ones that, like you said, they release an ICO, they make millions of dollars overnight, and then they just go
done,
Cancun for the rest of the time. Like,
so yeah. How can, listeners on the podcast that are, you know, fairly novice, I would say, certainly, you know, don't have as much knowledge as both of you do, but, are interested in investing in these. I mean, how do they avoid some of these pitfalls that you're talking about? Or is there just, there's just no way to really avoid that? You just hope that you're standing with the one that comes out, you know, the Google.
I don't care if it's cryptocurrency or if you're at a blackjack table or if you're investing like in stocks or bonds that are well established. Don't invest money that you can't afford to lose. Like, especially when it comes to more volatile markets, especially when it comes to returns, like when it comes to gambling or returns that are really similar to the crypto markets in that sense. Like, think of a chunk of money that if you lost it overnight, you would still be able to sleep at night just fine, and start with that. And then worst case scenario, you lose it, but you could still sleep at night. You know what I mean? Like,
yep. Yeah. So Daniel, what do you think?
So it's definitely 100%. If there is ever a textbook definition of an alternative asset, it's going to be cryptocurrency. But I would say, yeah. So like, don't put a ton of, it depends on your risk level, but number one thing for any investment you make, I don't care if it's stocks, currencies, bonds, leveraged funds, I don't care, whatever you invest in, cryptocurrencies, the number one thing you have to do is research. You have to do your due diligence, because if you don't know what you're getting into, you will very likely get slaughtered.
Well, yeah, you become the greater fool that all of us profit off of. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, so if you're just going to become a liquidity provider to the people who got there first, mm-hmm. And that'll be the end of it. I mean, you'll learn your lesson, you'll be mad and you'll be sad, and you'll be less well off than you were, and then you won't invest for a while because you're so annoyed. So yeah, research, your due diligence. I mean, like Candy's like she's like researching like hundreds of these things, trying to figure out which one is going to be remotely relevant once the whole thing kind of blows up. And I mean, I'm not saying it's going to blow up today or tomorrow. I mean, Bitcoin just crossed 7,000 after the futures announcement or whatever. But look, there have been over 50 hedge funds set up, so these guys could literally just flip ICOs, meaning whenever some company decides to ICO, these hedge funds come in with like millions of dollars and they'll just buy it and sell it right away because they'll make stupid margins on it. Like, the profits are insane, but they're depending on foolish investors who know absolutely nothing to come in and just drive up the price, and then they sell it. And there's nothing wrong with this kind of a strategy, but it goes to show you how, like, I don't even know, like, this market is just not clean, I guess.
Well, it hasn't become. I think it was really well intended in the beginning. And just like what the internet did for communication and information in terms of decentralizing it, helping it expand exponentially and globally, I think the internet did wonderful, amazing, and beautiful things for the culture we currently live in today. And I believe that blockchain technology and cryptocurrency is going to be doing the same thing for commerce on a global global, decentralized, democratic level. I very much believe in those principles and how it's going to change our culture. But just like with the dot-com bubble and just like with the cryptocurrency bubble, there's a lot of money to be made and a lot of frenzy that's happening to promote it in the meantime. So that's where I think, again, it comes down to not focusing on the fact that it's all going to blow up one day, but in the middle of the bubble that's happening, like, find the projects with the people behind them that really are mission driven and want to change the world for the better when it comes to commerce, decentralization. They have a project that they're legitimately passionate about. They're not trying to make it too complex, therefore fraudulent. They're trying to be transparent and come up with something that's going to be innovative, kind of like what Google does on a daily basis or what Facebook does on a daily basis.
I can imagine that everybody who knows crypto is probably like, who's listening to this is probably like, God, this guy is such a bleep, 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 or whatever.
And it depends on why they're in the market. If they're in the market to just make a lot of money and you're calling them out, then yeah, of course. But I mean,
look, I'm not saying I'm completely correct about this. I mean, and this is going to sound really cliche and it's been said a bunch of times, but I do believe in the blockchain technology more so than the coins themselves.
Yeah.
I know that's very cliche and it's been said a billion times and it's like a broken record, but I don't know. This stuff is just, it's fascinating. It's more fascinating from an economics perspective to me than from an investing perspective. But I mean, you and I both know so many people who have made so much money off of this, and it's just awesome.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the thing too, is just being able to know when to get in, when to get out. And just like with stocks, I mean, you want to buy relatively low. Like, I don't buy unless it's dipping relatively significantly. And then I hold it. Like, I find some coins and some projects that I believe in on a relatively long-term basis. Long-term in this market is still short-term relative to everything else. But, and then when it's dipping, it's on sale in my point of view. I go and I buy some and I hold it. And then so far, knock on wood, that's worked out well.
Yeah, and I guess the biggest challenge right now, as to what you alluded to with like the traditional valuation metrics, is right now everything has to be evaluated heavily on a qualitative basis versus a quantitative one. And once there's more established rules, if you will, which kind of goes against the whole decentralization thing, but I think the quantitative side will become a little bit easier. I mean, I talked to a few technicians and traders who are like applying statistics to this and trends and all that kind of stuff, and I guess they're doing well, or so they say. But I mean, any pure fundamentalist would tell you to not touch this thing with a 100-foot pole, but again, those are the kinds of people who aren't really investing yet anyways.
Last question to you both. We'll start with Kendi. You know, what does the future look like with this alternative investment with cryptocurrency?
Well, I feel like I already kind of alluded to it in the sense that I think cryptocurrency and blockchain technology more specifically is going to change the way commerce works and the way global economics works. And even for that matter, the way sovereignty works, because I think so much of like this implied and subconscious patriotism that we have is linked to what currency we use within our given country. And I think we're going to see that start to transform over the next 5 to 10 years. As far as an investment goes and what currencies are actually going to be the ones that are the front runners in that long term, it's hard to say. I'd say within the next like couple years, we're going to see a really big correction. The bubble's going to pop, so to speak. So in the meantime, just find some projects that you believe in, invest in them when they are trading at relatively low levels, hold on to them, don't just sell them out of fear when things start to dip again, because I think that's what your typical uneducated investor does. And good luck to you. that's the biggest thing is, yeah, good luck to you. I mean, it is a bubble, but there's legitimacy within it and that it's built upon and founded upon. So just look for that.
Yeah. And Daniel, what do you think?
So I'm visiting in New York right now. I've been here for 2 weeks just setting up. I've been in meetings and conferences like with a lot of finance people. And a lot of people are talking about this and it's interesting hearing their takes. Like, this is fund managers, wealth managers, bankers, everybody. One thing that I really liked from a director of research and portfolio manager at a prominent wealth management firm out here, he said that, like, for all of their clients who are a little bit more savvy and have a little bit, like, more money in the account, you know, like, it's difficult to tell your client, no, you can never trade, because, like, you know, wealth management, like, they're passive advisors, they get into ETFs and they index them and they have obviously their strategies and all that. But if the client says, like, hey, I want to invest in this, or I want to trade a little bit, or I want to go into this alternative asset, he said, like, we're not going to tell them no, but we're going to say you shouldn't take out more than 5% of your portfolio into this little side fund, hobby venture, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, cryptocurrency, it is an alternative asset class. It is a risky asset class. It's incredibly volatile. And, you know, you shouldn't, I'm not going to say you, I would not put more than 5%. For me, I guess I wouldn't put more than 10%, 15% on a good day.
On a personal note, that's kind of what I did. I took a very small amount that I could easily afford to lose. And then I just reinvested the returns I made on top of that, which were pretty significant within a 6-month span. And then you have that much more money to play with. But yeah, start small. That way, if absolute worst comes to worst and you lose all of it, you're only like 5% down from where you initially started. But reinvest the returns that you do make in it so you can have more fun along the way.
Yeah, this has been great. You know, thank you both for the incredible wisdom on this topic. Like I said, I know we're going to have a ton of questions, and we talk about subjects like this all the time on Millennial Wall Street. So, Daniel, tell listeners where they can connect with Millennial Wall Street so, you know, they can join in on some of these fun conversations.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there have been a ton of threads and arguments and debates on Millennial Wall Street.
All healthy.
Relatively respectful ones, yeah.
All healthy. I mean, it's been fun and interesting. And sometimes we see so many of them, it's kind of like, wait, no, what about the stocks and the bonds? But you can find Millennial Wall Street on Facebook. It's a Facebook group. It's a private group to make sure, like, that we don't get any spammers and scammers in there. We take that kind of stuff very seriously. So when you go to your Facebook search bar, just type in Millennial, MILLENNIAL, space Wall, space Street, all full words, no abbreviations, nothing like that. And you find it, you click add yourself to the group. And recently the admins and I, Kendi being one of my admins actually, we decided that we need to start vetting people because we just surpassed 2,000 people. We don't want any spam or scam or any BS in there. So there are three questions that you will have to answer. Just want to make sure that you read everything thoroughly and answer accordingly. And yeah, you'll be let into the group.
There's a lot that we can talk about this topic for sure, but I know that you'll agree that Daniel and Kendi, they know what they're talking about when it comes to Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And I love their opinions on it too, right? They're not afraid to say, like, here are the downsides of these types of currencies, but, you know, if you're smart about it, maybe there's an opportunity to make some cash too. But again, this is a completely individual decision and you should approach it that way. As always, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Shauna Game. And if you love this podcast, do me a favor, shout it out to your friends, share it on social media, and head on over to the link in the show notes and leave us a review.